You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
All right. Spirit in the sky.
Right there.
When I die. And lay me to rest.
Keep you gonna
go to.
I know. Well, I tell you, I wished I could sing, but forget
so
it. I know everybody. Yeah,
that wasn't too bad, Joe.
Everybody wishes. Hey,
that's a good thing for recordings.
Yeah, isn't that it? Isn't that it? 1-888-221-8990. I get accused on occasion of not giving out the number often enough.
And Alan's not even here.
And Alan's not. Yeah, he's delivering his best friend to the airport. Today, been down visiting from Georgia. As I said to him today, he was on our morning show. Alan was with his buddy, and I said, "You know, thank goodness you're good looking because you're not too bright. You're going back. You're going back to Wisconsin right now." I said, "Why would anybody go back to Wisconsin when it's a blizzard?"
You know, I had a client up in Wisconsin.
You know what his answer was? It was fear. He has a wife.
I was going to say, it gets pretty cold up there. I went up there at the end of May. I was up there, and they still had snow on the ground. The end of May.
I'm originally from Michigan.
There's no reason for it to be under 60 degrees, in my opinion.
Listen, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that we get to live in Florida. And I am not even one second being, I mean, this is such a gift. When I drove back from misery, from Kansas City, misery, a month or so ago.
Misery, okay.
Yeah, and we left at 5 degrees, which was wonderful. You have heat.
5 degrees.
5 degrees. We have heat. It goes nice and dry. You know, the roads are good. And just lucky for us, we got into Kentucky in a snowstorm.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
And it only had about a foot of snow and a jackknife trailer and spent 3 hours on the interstate. And then you kind of get back, you finally get off and try to get into a restaurant. You couldn't get in because of the snow, let alone... Then we got into a motel that I could finally get into, and they had a buffet dinner. It was salad. And not much salad. Everything else was gone.
Well, I'm sure.
Anyway, I then said, you know, from now on, I'm going to thank God twice a day that we're in Florida, not just once.
Well, as you know, I'm an avid Philadelphia Eagle fan, and my brother drove from here, from Jupiter up to Minnesota. He asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, no, thank you.
So you gave up a Super Bowl.
I didn't have it in me. It was unbelievably cold, like negative 10 degrees.
But they have a covered stadium, right?
Well, that and the price of ticket.
The truth comes out. $5,000 for a ticket. It's a little bit stiff.
Well, honestly, the day after the Eagles won the NFC Championship, I looked for the Super Bowl tickets that Monday. At 8 o'clock in the morning, they were $4,000. By noon, they were $5,000.
Right.
Wow. Those are the cheap seats, right?
Yeah.
For $500, it would have been worth freezing.
$500?
For $5,000?
The cheapest face value ticket that I saw was $950. And that's if you could get it for face value.
Well, you know, it's no wonder I like swimming.
Yeah, I like tennis.
You know, think about it. As much as we complain about our boats, all of a sudden, when you start to realize what it costs to go to football games.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But Super Bowl Sunday, instead of being in Minnesota freezing, I was on the beach.
Mm. What a problem.
It is a problem.
Didn't we not have Chamber of Commerce weather all this whole month of February?
I think beautiful.
Boy, the tourists are just couldn't have hit it better.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in the water last weekend out at the sandbar.
Yeah, and it's been beautiful. It's been clear.
Water's clear now again.
Yep.
That time of year we get Bahamas water, as I call it, because we don't have rain.
Yep.
So the water gets real nice. Deborah got to see her first two manatees.
Oh, very nice.
And we had a young one within like 8 feet of the boat. You know, sometimes you get curious. Manatees do. So that's always a rush. But all right, team, this is not why we're here, to give you a travelogue, etc. You have to write this phone number down and keep it by the phone. If you're driving, ignore what I just said. 888-221-8990. This is a talk show, and we don't need to do all the talking. Vince Rizzino's always accusing me of talking too much, but he keeps falling asleep.
I feel like I'm just here. I'm the Ed McMahon to Johnny Carson.
You kind of look like Ed McMahon.
I wish I had his money.
No, what was his name? Who's Doc? Doc
Severinsen.
Doc Severinsen. Yeah, you look more like Doc Severinsen.
Doc was a nice man. He played very good trumpet.
I guess.
Yeah, and you're quite a musician yourself.
Well, I just picked up guitar after 45 years. And not just. It's been about a year and a half.
Yeah, he's been.
It's coming along. I'm very pleased with the progress.
Everyone in my family is very musically talented, and I can't even play a CD.
Your brother's a musician, right?
Yeah, my brother is a very talented musician. He actually, right now, he's playing the steel drum.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Cool.
1-888-221-8990. Back in '04, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, said, let's start doing radio shows because the three of us have different areas of expertise and we can answer questions for people and help them. And then over a period of time, we realized that wasn't enough, so we got Vince Rizzino, CPA, because, hey, taxes and what goes on. I mean, Vince, massive defense of Vince, we all have a lot of work to do to keep up with what's on, but we don't have one-tenth as much as you do to keep up with what the government is doing to you and the tax codes and all the stuff that changes.
Well, it's always been a challenge to keep up with the laws, but now with the new tax law, we're still now trying to figure out what it all means for our clients.
Right,
because they're
right.
all calling us saying, well, what is that going to mean for me next year?
Right.
Well, some of it hasn't been, let's say, fleshed out yet because the law is there, but there's no regulations with the law.
Yeah,
so to give us guidance on what did you mean exactly when you said
makes
that professional service firms can't get an extra 20% deduction. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It says, well, that means all CPAs. Well, we've got different interpretations. CPAs, lawyers, accountants, insurance brokers,
financial people. We need to change our label.
Yeah.
You know?
What should we be this week?
Well, you know what it is, and I'm sure there's loopholes around everything. It's called file an LLC in the name of Jim Jackson, a baseball bat proprietor, and then underneath that, do mortgages.
You laugh about that, but I had a new client came in to me a couple days ago, potential new client, and he was a physician, and he had commingled his money into another operation where he was doing other than that, selling product, for example.
Right.
And it's not a good thing to do because it's not related to your primary business.
Right.
if you get audited, they could say, well, wait a minute. First of all, it's all subject to Social Security. Any professional service income, I don't care if you're in an S corp or you're in a regular sole proprietorship. I'm sorry, it's an S corp. Again, it gets back to definition of what's a professional service. That's where this regulations come in, because they're different. They specifically mention accountants, lawyers, doctors, architects.
Oh, but not everybody mortgage people.
Else. Okay, not mortgage people.
Hey, you and I,
not financial advisors.
Right.
So, but now because of this 20% extra deduction they're going to be giving people in the service company or any company for that matter, any S corp that has money. The question now is getting focused. What exactly and who exactly falls under this?
Yep.
And it's subject to regulation right now. So I can't even answer that question for the majority, like my mortgage broker clients, my financial advisor clients. I can't even say, yeah, you're going to get it, or no, you're absolutely not going to get it. It's just, it's still up in the air. Right. So that's the frustration. But every day, Joe, there's something else that comes up.
I figured, yeah.
And in fact, it's funny that the IRS comes out with bulletins. They send us the bulletins because you can subscribe to the IRS site and they send us preparers bulletin. One of the bulletins we're talking about, don't forget. This was interesting. They said, don't forget, you preparers. Even under the new law, if you have a home equity line of credit, you're still entitled to take a deduction if the money you drew was used to put into your primary residence as an improvement. So if you borrowed money on that thing and you put it into your home as an improvement, you can still deduct the home equity line.
I didn't know that.
If you use the funds for other purposes like debt consolidation,
can't you take a home equity loan and get a boat, because that's definitely a home improvement?
No, but then you'd be better off getting a boat loan and then taking it the deduction as a second home.
That's a fact.
But as a primary, no. So some people, all along, even the primary mortgages was subject to what they called the tracing rules, because if you borrowed money on a first mortgage and you didn't use the money for your house, in theory, you're supposed to bifurcate it.
Well, I got it.
Vince, I thought for a while the rule was that you could only take up to the initial purchase price of the house.
Exactly.
So is that still the rule?
Yes. Yeah. So if you went in and refied and you got more money out of it,
you can only go up to the amount of the purchase.
Unless you use the money again,
for improvement. Put an addition on.
Yeah, put an addition and you refied it. But if you took the money out, on a Bahamas cruise or something?
You refinanced?
That's a great idea, though.
And you refinanced it for more than what you paid for, but it was to take care of your mother-in-law.
It doesn't matter. It's got to be for improvements to the apartment.
That was improvements to keep her out of my house.
I won't go near that one. But the point is, even on the HELOCs now, so if you take out the HELOC, it was in the past.
Explain what a HELOC is.
Well, a HELOC is a home equity line of credit.
Right.
That's a HELOC. In the past, before the new law, you could use the money for any purpose, and you could get a deduction.
Yeah, in fact, I used to tell people all the time, they say, hey, should I do this, but buy a car? And I said, sure. Taxes, no deduction on interest on the car, but there was on the home equity line or the home mortgage.
But then the law changed in December, and they said no interest on the HELOCs anymore, that wasn't necessarily the case. Actually, it's the first time I've ever heard the IRS come out and say, by the way, guys, you can, if it's your primary residence and you're putting in for improvements, you can still deduct it. So I thought that was the kind of bulletins we get. We get these things every once in a while. But this is the first time this was actually helpful.
Interesting. Well, as I said, I know you get tons and tons of stuff. I get emails all the time, and some of them, if they're coming from my broker dealer, I've got to pay attention to them. But thousands, you know how they all.
Oh, yeah.
And it just drives you nuts with all the mail or emails and all the stuff you get. People are soliciting you or doing whatever, so it's hard to keep that. When they send you your bulletins, they're all via email, are they not?
Yes, they're all by email, and you subscribe, and they send them to you. And every day I'm getting a bulletin either from the societies that I belong to or from the IRS themselves. So they give us these little tidbits.
So when we added Vince Rizzino, we needed a, quote, CPA, meaning certified public accountant. Not that a guy just doing taxes is not a competent person, but a CPA has to wear a hat that's a little tighter because he has certain amounts of liability that other people may not have. So once we have that, and in the meantime, we got a caller. Let's take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, it's Patty Kay. How are you?
Hey, Patty Kay. I remember you.
I just saw her last week.
You saw her?
Well, I know.
She came to see me 2 years ago, and I haven't heard from her since.
Really?
Well, it was 2 weeks ago, and yes, oh. I know. Your girl tried to call me yesterday.
Okay.
Well, she likes me better, Joe. So that's the only answer.
I hate to tell you, everybody likes you better.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Depends on what news I bring them on their tax return.
Well, that's another thing. You can be. I've been mad at you a couple of times now that yes. I think about
you
it.
You can be like the Grim Reaper sometimes.
Well, I just have to say, Vince is my friend this year.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, this year. I like the way you phrased that, this year, Patty. That was good.
Well, he was last year, too. We'll see what happens this year.
So. Okay.
But anyway, my question is, Vince, you brought up the thing about the HELOC interest property, and you have a HELOC on that, and you use that for improvements on your income property.
I'm sorry. Give that. You were cutting up on the floor. I didn't hear you. You cut out a couple of times. Say it again.
So the HELOC, if you have one on income property and you use that HELOC for improvements on the income property,
yeah, that's fine. That's deductible. Okay. That's business interest. Okay. That's deductible.
And what if you had that equity line on an income property, but you use the money to improve your primary residence?
No.
Only for the rental property that you were using, right?
And the HELOC is home equity, so it's got to be a loan on your primary residence.
But it wasn't technically a HELOC if it's a loan on an income property.
No, it isn't. It's because it's not a home equity loan.
Right,
it's probably
right.
a line of credit.
Right.
It's a home equity loan on my income property.
There you go.
Well,
I understand.
I don't, they still call that a home equity loan, even though I guess it is a home.
We categorize them.
Is that how you categorize them? Yeah. Hey, listen, two out of three of us learned something just now.
Yeah. It's an equity loan on a home, just not the one you live in.
That's right. And it's a business property. If it's a rental property, it's considered business.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
So there you go.
Well, now you know. Patty is.
Okay. Great.
Good hearing
from
you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night. And God bless
you
all.
Thank you.
Same to you, Patty. She's such a wonderful
person. Oh, she is. She's a sweetheart. Anyway, what I was leaning into was, not only is Vince a CPA, he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness to testify for or against. And he also used to teach college level.
Yes, but not at Columbia.
But
I was at the next best option.
Ooh.
The State University of New York.
There you go.
Old Westbury campus.
And then we also added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Back in round 09, I'm guessing we were talking about that today. I can't believe how long it's been. Mike, that means you've been here since around 09.
Yeah, it feels like much longer, though.
It was so funny. I was at a King's Isle, and I met the property manager there, who I've known for a long time, the other day. And I said, Rick, you're still here. And he goes, Joe, it's been 13 years.
Mm,
and I said, I've been coming here longer than you have. So this is, you know, this time flies when you're not having fun routine is exciting.
No, I think it's when you're having
fun. Oh, you're having fun. I knew there was something like that.
When you're not having fun, it drags.
So back in 09, too, that was when the real fun was happening with the economy. It was a little difficult.
Well, that's when Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, and Mike Mollis, mortgage brokers, joined the group, because now we were into a major calamity with the recession, with the debacle of mortgages, and the economy just completely falling apart. And there was many, 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 many misconceptions about the availability of mortgage money, qualifying for mortgages. Yes, it was harder then than it was just a few months before that, because you finally had to prove again that you could afford it. What a concept.
What a concept, right?
So you had to prove. And one of the things, in fact, Dan and I were talking about it this morning on the morning show, that when people go to apply for a mortgage, they walk into a financial institution. It might take them 2 weeks, even a month, to find out if they're approved or not approved. Whereas, Mike, you can usually tell them within 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, and there's a good reason for that. If you're a big banking institution, you have to make sure that you're following all their parameters to make sure that there's no chance of discrimination against this customer. They're going to look at every avenue before they make that loan determination. Now, I do the same thing, but I have the capability of wearing all the hats in the company. I am the loan originator, I'm the underwriter, I'm the processor. So, you know, I can cut to the chase and I can say, listen, you know, you might have to work on a credit issue. You might have to, you know, season your money in your bank account a little bit longer. Maybe wait till you file your 2017 tax returns. So, you know, we can give them a little bit of advice in advance to prepare them for a mortgage.
Well, that makes a ton of difference.
Make it a lot faster.
Ton of difference. Because, you know, 99% of the people, especially the first time you buy, they don't have a clue what's going to go on. But then what you have to qualify for the mortgage is different than going out and buying a car or a piece of furniture from the furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be able to fill in the blanks and get them done properly. So you're going to counsel people and let them know, yes, we think you're fine just like you are, or maybe it's going to take you 3 months or 6 months or a period of time, and here's the things you should do to get ready to get that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the differences between me and one of the larger box banks is, you know, I offer just about every mortgage product out there. I mean, everyone heard of the no-income verification loans back in the day. Well, they don't exactly have those programs back, but there's some new programs that are innovative in verifying your income. Such as if you're self-employed, we can look at bank statements over the course of a year or 2 years. Matter of fact, I just had a new product come up that we only have to look at one bank statement to determine cash flow. Wow. and determine your income from that. One monthly statement. Wow. Now, is that a good way to verify
really.
Income? Probably not.
You can have an awful lot come in 1 month.
Right. Yeah. Even 1 month, and right. You don't have income for a month or two.
But the point I'm trying to make is that I do have a lot of other programs that most banks in general, they don't offer those.
Yeah.
You know, companies like myself, we have reverse mortgages, construction loans, renovation loans, and not every bank offers those types of loans. So we have a diverse product.
That's right.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. It was interesting weeks ago. We've had two or three subjects that came up, but one I'm back onto again, Mike, and that's called bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I've had a couple of occasions where people had a 401k, and they very often, depending on how the 401k is structured, they will have age-dependent options for people to invest mm-hmm. their money in a 401k. And one of the old rules years ago was 60-40, 70-30, meaning 60% stock, 40% bonds, or 70% stock, 30% bonds. And the younger you are, in theory, the more money you would put into equities or mutual funds, or what I'm just going to call stocks. And then the older you got, the more money should go into bonds, because bonds are, quote, safer.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, but probably not right now, though.
Probably not right now.
Yeah, I remember. The rule of thumb I heard was, you know, for every whatever year of age you are, if you're 40, then 40% of your money should be conservative and 60% in less conservative. Now it doesn't seem to matter. So people are living longer, they need their investments.
Well, there
longer.
Becomes the big problem.
Yeah.
And now the second part is this, and this is an important thing. And a lot of people, they look at their 401k statement or their brokerage statement or their 403b statement, any type of retirement account, and oftentimes it's not easy by just looking at the category to figure out what they're invested in. Mm-hmm. And I've had multiple people say, well, gee, Joe.
God bless.
Thank you. Excuse me. Last year appeared to be a pretty good year in the market, but I didn't make any money. How can that possibly be? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute after I take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
So I have a couple of tax questions. I'm single, I have no deductions, and I have no write-offs, and I do the very simplest tax return that there is. But I was expecting that $12,000 deduction, standard deduction, and I didn't get it. It's still $6,000.
No,
so when is
no.
that going to take effect?
Caller, the new tax law doesn't take effect until 2018. So when you file your 2018 return in 2019, you will see that you'll be entitled to a $12,000 standard deduction.
You're still under last year's code.
You're still under last year. For 17, it didn't change, so you're only getting $6,350.
Okay.
Doesn't make you feel any better, but it's you know, it's like he just rubbed that stick in your eye again, letting you know.
just the fact.
Yeah, we understand.
Yes.
Hey, you know, listen, you could get married and have three or four kids, and then you think you have problems now.
Well, within a year?
Yeah.
Well, he could
it's
adopt.
Not a problem, but I don't want those kind of problems.
Yeah. Anything else that Vince can answer? Anybody else here?
Just one more thing. Last year I paid 15%. That's what my taxes were, 15%. And this year I made $2,000 more, and my rate went up to 25%. I'm going to hang up, and then I'll listen to your response.
Well, hold still for just a second. That doesn't make any sense.
Right to me. Doesn't sound right at all. 2,000 is not going to push you over unless you were on the edge to begin with it.
But 15 to 25.
15 to 25. It only goes 15 to 18 or 15 to 20. I don't get that. That doesn't make sense.
Are you doing your own taxes, or you got somebody doing for you?
No, I had one of the bigger companies do it.
Well, you might want to have somebody else do it again, because that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Okay.
All right, my man. Good luck.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, because
Joe, it could have been that maybe he had a lot of capital gains in the year prior, because there's so many variables that could get into this. I mean, if he had a lot of capital gains, but even then they would tax it. See, depends. If you had a low enough income, if you were in the lowest bracket, say 12%, and had capital gains, they tax you at zero.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are different brackets even on the capital gains.
But if he paid, if we didn't ask if his wages were the same, that's one thing. Right. If he made more money, well, he made $2,000 more.
More, right?
Yeah, yeah. $2,000 by itself, as I say, unless he was already bumping the next bracket, but the bracket after that was not 25.
It would, but still, in all, what happens is, it's a graduated bracket, right?
Yes.
You pay X on this and Y on that, and each time you move up, you don't pay it on the whole thing.
It's incremental, right?
So if he moved from 15 to 25 total, normally that would be like a $50,000 increase, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be a big increase. A big increase, at least 10 percentage points, and that's not likely. Not on $2,000.
That was the magic word. If he only made $2,000 and there was no other investment income,
$20,000 possibly.
But even if he had capital gains,
But he also said he filed an EZ form. So he probably didn't have many deductions.
Well, he said that. He had actually no deductions.
Right, so exactly.
It wasn't on the deduction front that he was losing out. It was because the income. But the income, you'd have to have a hell of a...
Awfully big increase.
Unless it was an error made last year in the stock returns.
Well, how about an error this year?
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
You need to look at both years. If I was to advise him, I'd like to see both years.
And that's
so, caller, if you're interested, you know, call me.
You can always call back, and yeah, we can help you out. I would look at it pretty hard and find out. You know, I do taxes in my head. I have a real hard time doing them on paper. That's why I've got to have Vince, because put all that stuff down on paper would kill me.
Everybody likes to do it in their head because they're always a lot lower than the actual number.
Right.
Well, that's last time. That's why I had my hands around his neck last time I was in there.
He was up there. He says, I got to get a new accountant, he says.
Right. How many times have you heard that, right?
I've heard that all the time.
I like that. When you get a person that goes to the new one, he comes back and says, you know, bad as you were, they were worse.
That's right. And then like Patty, the previous caller said, when you bring them good news, you're great.
You're great.
If you don't bring them good news, you're not that good.
You're like the dentist. Nobody likes to go there. But if your teeth look better when you're done, it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Well, everyone likes to make more money, but they end up spending it throughout the year when they should have been saving it for the tax.
For the tax.
Well, that's true, because it's true. It absolutely is true. And a lot of people, if they play the cards right, they wind up with a huge refund at the end. I have a client of mine just last week, sent him out the return, $15,000 refund. The guy makes a good number, about $180,000, and he gets a $15,000 refund. So I said to him, you know, are you sure you want to do this? I said, why don't you reduce your withholding so you break out even or a couple of bucks ahead? Oh, no. My wife and I, that's the way we budget. We budget for this big refund at the end.
I said, okay,
so it's forced savings for some people. They like that.
And there's some logic
there. Not like you're going to get any interest in the savings account anyway.
That's true. These days it's even
think about
less
it.
Right.
If you stick it in the bank and you're getting an eighth of a quarter of a percent.
Speaking of that, does the IRS pay interest when you're...
Yes, they do, but only after a certain period of time. Like, for example, you file your return and they have until like the end of May or May 15th. I forget the exact date, but it's in May. And if they don't refund your money by then they have to stop paying you interest.
But they certainly charge interest.
Oh, yes. And it comes, that interest charges from April 15th.
And it's a lot more than they pay.
Absolutely right.
Oh, you're kidding. 1-888-221-8990. So let me go back to my subject here, because we've talked about this quite often, but I'm getting more inquiries about it, especially with people with 401ks or 403bs. And very often, these 401ks or these 403bs, which the difference, by the way, folks, a 401k is a for-profit company that you're giving a retirement account with, where they usually match a certain portion. And a 403b is a nonprofit company that could be a church or a hospital or whatever. And they do the same thing. They may match a portion of your income, which both vehicles are wonderful, wonderful things. But inside of these vehicles are investment options. And very often the investment options are somewhat limited. Sometimes they don't have too many choices. And some of the ones say we have an age-weighted investment option. And depending on your age, and they don't show you this on the statement, they don't really explain this very well to the client, or maybe they do, but the client forgets, that depending on how old you are, more and more of your money would go into bonds. Now, bonds are not called savings bonds. These are corporate bonds. These are companies that are paying interest, and they have bond funds and pure bonds, and almost always in a 401k, they are bond funds rather than pure bonds. Now, I like pure bonds. They have a start date and an end date and an interest rate.
Yep.
Whereas bond funds, they constantly are mixing, buying and selling different bonds, so they never have a start date and an end date, and what they pay you can vary depending on how many they're buying and selling. But the biggest problem is, and we talk about this a lot, interest rates go up, the value of bonds goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's very hard to get in through the head, because it just sounds sacrilegious that interest rates go up and your value goes down. But I'm going to give the example that we usually use, and I'll wait until after this call.
Keep that thought.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe, and all the others.
Well, good afternoon, Cole. Thanks for calling.
I must commend you guys for the awesome job you're doing. My reason for calling is I need to get an appointment with Vince. I need to get his number because I need him to do my stuff.
Is this Hervin?
No, this is Nev, N-E-V.
Never mind. You sound just like one of your brothers in Christ here that's a client of mine. You sound just like him.
Yes,
and you
does.
Must. Hey, let me just tell you, you must be a magnificent person, because the guy I'm talking about is also a magnificent person.
Yes, well, I'm a man of God, too.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm not allowed to give you my phone number on the air, caller, Nev.
Okay.
What I would suggest you do is maybe call back.
No, did you give your number, name and number to Pastor Tom when you called in?
Yeah, I gave Pastor Tom the number.
All right, then I could call you. I'll get your number off there.
He'll give you a call tomorrow and see if he can counsel you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Nev. You're welcome, Nev. Thanks for calling.
You can tell we're getting closer to tax time, because all the calls are for you, Vince.
All of a sudden, right?
Most of the year, they're not.
Most of the year, they're not, right?
I welcome them.
This is your time of year. Your turn. Here goes another.
Let's see if this one's a tax call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Digger. How you guys doing? This is Jason.
Hey,
I'm calling from Palm City.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. I got a probably pretty easy question for you guys. I have a situation where there's 2 years that I haven't filed.
Okay.
And my paperwork's not lining up, and I want to make sure that it doesn't cause any issues. Is there an easy way to get that information from the IRS without raising a bunch of flags, like, hey, I didn't file, and
although they did have a problem probably 6 months ago with requesting transcripts, because usually that's where you'd get that information from. You can call the IRS and request a transcript from them. And it's a little bit cumbersome, because you might be waiting on the phone, especially this time of the year. You might be waiting an hour to get through to somebody.
Right.
But you can still go through their website and request it there if you feel comfortable with that. You can go up there.
Okay.
There is a whole section on the IRS website that deals with transcripts.
It's IRS.gov, right?
It's IRS.gov. And you can get
request transcripts.
You can go to transcripts.
Okay, and that's probably the easiest way to do it. Is there any other way to do it? Like, is there any like website out there other than IRS.gov that I can
nobody,
do it through?
No, nobody. Well, have that authority to give you transcripts other than the IRS.
Equifax does. Well, we use a service through Equifax, which I don't know if you're really comfortable with using them at this point. But
even then, they need your permission.
You'd need permission, right? And there's a form that we use. It's called an IRS 4506.
Now the 4506 is different because the 4506 you get actual copies of tax returns that were previously filed.
You know, well, it's a transcript report. But there's also you can get a record. I'm trying to think of the terminology. But it gives you everything that was filed for that particular year.
Yeah, that's what the 4506 would get for you.
And, you know, if you're really a glutton for punishment, there's an IRS office right up in Port St. Lucie. You can go up there and make sure you're the first one there in the morning.
Well, and you know, you can make an appointment, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
hey, my name's not really Jason. No, I'm
not. He's from the IRS. He's checking.
Yeah, Jason, we're not going to say what street and what your social is on the radio. Don't worry about it.
I appreciate that. Thanks. All right, so to review, it's Equifax, the 4506 form. I can look into that, and then I can just go to IRS.gov and look for request transcripts.
Exactly.
I will tell you that the new IRS, Jason, in spite of the fact that people are scared to death, are not bad. They are pretty friendly and very cooperative to help people. And there are many, many people that miss a year in filing, and there might be some tax and penalty, but normally they work with you very, very well.
There's nothing to be scared of with that, Jason. And you know what I found? My experience has been that people who haven't filed, more times than not, they're getting a refund back. They don't owe money. So,
unless you were self-employed.
Yeah. I think we have 3 years to file to get the refund. Otherwise, we give it up, I think.
Exactly. And you got 3 years or 2 years from when you made a payment or 3 years from when you filed the return.
Yeah, but Vince, we had one not too long ago. He didn't file for like 20 years or so, and that was made it more interesting.
Yeah, it did.
Cool.
It did.
We were brushing with the law there. I've got to clean this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
Good luck. Yeah, it's the Internal Revenue is really not that bad to work with. They seem to go out of their way. The old Internal Revenue, and I remember an audit years and years and years and years ago that I went to, and the guy was flat nasty. Now, I am a hard person to intimidate, but he was flat nasty. And I said to him, "Are you done?" I like his magic question was, and I had a terrible, terrible year. You remember back in 82 when interest rates were 14, 15, 16? Mm-hmm. Well, those of us that were in real estate did not work so well that year. Mm-hmm. I worked 7 days a week for a year and a half just to exist. So he says, "What kind of car do you drive?" And I said, "I got a Cadillac." And he says, "Figures. Guys like you drive a Cadillac. Guys like me drive Chevrolets, but we pay our taxes."
Ooh.
And I said,
Really?
Yeah, quote. So I said to him, I said, "Look it. I'm going to tell you right now, you change your attitude or get me a new rep, new agent." Well, he didn't know that I knew the rules. You don't have to be stuck with this person. So he did. He got nice. I said, "Look, you think I'm on purpose I did this? You think I'm working 7 days a week for a year and a half to stay alive in a terrible economy?" I said, "You know, hey, I want to pay and I want to do what we have to do, but I need your help rather than getting a lecture." So, and literally today, you don't even have to go through abuse from anybody. They really seem to go out of their way to help.
No, especially since the scandal a few years ago with the conservatives and organization trying to get the 501c3s and they were canning their application while putting them on hold for indefinite period. But since then, I think they've kind of
they really
fixed that too.
Yeah, we have a lot of dealings with the IRS because we have to verify transcripts, and sometimes there's all kinds of fraud involved where people file phony tax returns. Yeah. So a lot of times we get involved with the mediators that the IRS have, and they're fantastic to deal with, and they will expedite any kind of request that you have.
Yeah, and
I think the difference is, back to your point about the 4506, I think the difference is on a traditional transcript, and especially when you haven't filed a return, all you're seeing is what's been reported to the IRS.
Well, that's probably what he's looking for, is 1099s, W-2s.
But in your case, you might be getting the transcript of the entire return
that
was filed.
Yeah, on that form, there's different boxes that you can check for different transcripts that you want.
Okay.
The point is, I understand people being intimidated, but really the reality is this. They're there to try to help people get out of their situation and work with them. And you may have to pay regardless, whatever that is. Well, you might get money back, like you said, Vince. A lot of times people
I'm
don't really.
I would say probably 8 out of 10 people that come into my office that haven't filed.
They got money
refunds. Coming. They got money back. And there are really a lot of reasons why they didn't file.
Yeah.
And sometimes you miss 1 year, and that intimidates themselves.
Now you're scared.
God,
yeah.
I'm scared. On what happens if I file and find out I didn't file before.
So back into bonds.
Yes, bonds.
So
I want to see how this story ends. Yes.
I know. So Mike Polis and Joe Martek decide to buy one bond. And bonds normally sell for $1,000 a piece, and they have a start date and an end date. And let's say the start date is now, and it's going to pay 4%. Let's just use that number.
Mm-hmm.
And the end date is 10 years from now. So we know we're going to collect 4% every single year on that $1,000 for the next 10 years. And then at the end of 10 years, we get our $1,000 back, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, a year goes by, and Mike Polis says to me, he says, Joe, I don't like you anymore. Can you imagine actually saying that?
I would never say that to you.
I know. Oh, that's right. You're not a woman. Forget that part.
No.
I have had a couple say that. Anyway, so then Mike says, Joe, I don't want you as a partner anymore. Get me a new partner. So I go to Vince. I say, hey, Vince, Mike doesn't like me anymore. We got this bond a year ago for $1,000. He put up $5. I put up $5. He wants you to be his partner now. And Vince says, what interest rate is it paying? I say, 4%. He goes, hang on a minute. He says, let me do a little checking. And he checks out, and he says, you know, new bonds are paying 5%. Comes back to me, and he says, Joe, I hate to tell you, I don't want it because I can get 5%. Why would I take 4? I'll say, well, guess what we may have to do? We may have to go back to Mike and say, Mike, you've got 9 more years at 4. Vince wants 5. You have to discount that $500 by 1% a year for the next 9 years to get you the yield. So the value of that bond went down 9%.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was 4, 9% of 4 would be, what, 0.36 or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So now that has to be deducted from the account so you would get the yield that would do it. So the simple part of the rule is this. In an inclining interest rate market, bonds start to look pretty bad because every time we have a 0.25% interest rate or 0.5% or whatever comes along and you have that bond that's only paying 3 or 4 or you're in a bond fund, all of a sudden you may go a whole year and say, I didn't make anything, or I might actually lose money. So I get very...
isn't that only an issue when you have to liquidate the bond? I mean, if you're in a
you're
bond...
Still you're collecting the interest.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter whether that bond is worth $1,000 or it's worth $400.
Well, let's take a bond fund.
That's a different animal.
There is no start date and no end date.
Mm-hmm.
And that bond fund is constantly mixing new bonds into it, buying and selling.
That's a good point, because I was just thinking the same thing, because if you hold a bond to maturity,
you're done.
You're just a private investor and you buy a bond,
and there'll
you're
be times
get the yield.
And there'll be times when it's worth more, and there's times when it's worth less.
But as long as you hold on to it for term, you're good.
Right.
But Joe's right, with the bond funds, they're constantly trading in and out. You're taking those
bond
funds. You're taking those.
And what happens is, whenever we look at most retirement accounts, they don't hold actual bonds; they're in bond funds.
Right.
And almost all quote mutual funds, whether it's a equity meaning stocks, they have 100 or 50 or 200 companies involved in there, and the bond funds might have 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 different corporate bonds.
But on the other hand, if you're buying and trading new bonds, then aren't those bonds then producing a higher yield?
But in order to do that, they still have to sell other ones. So each time they buy one, and you're only getting a 4% yield because you've got the original ones and the new ones, if you buy that bond fund today, as opposed to a year ago, you're going to get a better yield because interest rates are higher.
Right.
You take the hit as the other one. 1-888-221-8990. Your 4-year anniversary is on the next program.
Is that right? We've been here 4 years.
4 years we're here.
That's surprising.
You know, Tom, you don't look a year older. You look 10 years older, but not.
Do you know? Yeah.
Can you believe that? Really, 4 years?
Yeah, you started March 1st, 2014.
Wow! March 1st, 2014. And we started doing radio shows back in '04. I like saying ought.
Ought. I noticed that. You ought to be careful with that.
Well, Joe, you're our fearless leader. Why don't you put together a special show for our anniversary?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have in mind?
That's what they called you our leader.
You're the leader of the pack, Joe.
Okay, I have a great idea. I'm willing to do that. You're in charge.
You're great at delegating.
Now it sounds like a military.
I agreed to delegate.
You volunteer,
right.
You're in.
You volunteer.
Come up with an idea. Good. Go implement.
1-888-221-8990. Now, anybody that has a 401k or 403b, any type of retirement account, even a regular IRA, if they want me to take a look at it, I do that all the time for people. I don't charge anything. You can talk to me on the phone. You can email, fax me. I will give you my opinion on what you've got. Oftentimes, I'll tell people what they actually have. Mm. I had a lady that came in to see me from a listener from WCNO, and she brought in three separate contracts, didn't have a clue. We got on the phone with the companies that she had, and she said, you know, in 15 minutes, I learned more than I have in the last 5 years. And we found out exactly what she had, and what she had was wonderful. She had some really good stuff, much better than she even dreamed of. So the good news was that, you keep stuff like that. Don't ever let somebody talk you out of it. What did happen was an interesting thing. The rep that she had was in a different state, and she hadn't talked to him for a long time, so we got to change reps, so she now is stuck with me rather than that guy. But it didn't cost her a nickel to do that. And now she's got somebody local to talk to, so she can come into the office and beat me up whenever she wants.
Well, it's great to deal with an honest person, too, because how many people would look at that and say, well, this is all wrong for you.
Yeah,
let's take a look and just for the sake of making a commission. So
I will tell you, and you know, that's when I think about being on WCNO and Christian radio, and I could come in here, and if I'm going to lie and cheat, Pastor Dave is very intuitive. He'd look at me and say, Joe, forget the pizza.
Yeah, well.
We take you out back, Joe.
Take us out back and beat us.
We'll remind you that your sins were forgiven at the cross.
Yeah, after a certain period of suffering. But
maybe he needs to. He would have to
preach
hang on the
gospel.
You might have to hang for a while. Yeah. Well, you know, I had a pastor years ago, and we were talking about being saved, and he says, you know, people say they're saved, but how come they constantly sin? He says, well, maybe they weren't really saved after all.
Well, keep in mind that the human condition doesn't go away when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Right.
And that we have sin nature, and that's what repentance is all about.
So. But it's like, you know, back when Chris and I was raised as a Catholic, we got to go to confession on Friday, you know. Mm-hmm. And we could start over again next week because we were clean for a few hours.
You went on Friday?
Really? Or what?
It was Saturday, I thought.
Well, see, I went
Saturday, 2 p.m.
I went, you know, in Catholic school, you could go almost any time you wanted.
Oh, was that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I went, you know.
That's interesting.
You probably had to go pretty often. Yes.
I did.
So what did they have? They had one.
It was like 7-Eleven.
I had a father-son thing. My dad spent the whole mass in a confessional. He never got out of the mass. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Oh, God.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
I have an investment property, and I have an equity loan line of credit on it. It's now 10 years. I heard from the bank, and what I want to do is, it will continue for 15 more years, but I'll be paying principal and interest at a rate of about 4.9. I'm trying to think what's the best thing to do. Should I take out a fixed rate mortgage, or should I refinance?
Well,
I need some advice.
That probably has to do with how long you're going to keep this mortgage and how much you owe, because if you refinance, there's going to be closing costs to consider. So you have to be able to save enough money to justify paying those closing costs. So how much do you owe on the property?
$218,000.
Yeah, you probably want to look at refinancing, and you might want to look at a 15-year fixed. Although,
but this is an investment property.
An investment property you might consider a 30-year, and the only reason, and I'm a big advocate for 15-year loans, but for investment properties, you might want to consider a 30, just in the case where, what happens if that property goes unrented for a while? You have a vacancy,
yeah.
You have a fire. You want to be able to make that payment every month without the use of that rental income.
Yes, another. Let me ask, and he said 4.9. Is this an adjustable rate mortgage or a fixed rate mortgage they're going to give you for 15 years?
It will be a adjustable rate.
See, that's another big problem because you think interest rates are going to go down in the next year or so?
No.
No.
You know,
I don't think it's going to go down, though.
This is a problem with home equity lines of credit, because what happens is, usually they're set up with the first 10 years, you're allowed to make interest-only payments. They're based on adjustable rates, which have been fantastic for the last several years.
Yeah.
But now, once you're in it for 10 years, now with the rates increasing, and now that they're going to start making you pay back the principal, that could be quite an increase in your payment.
It will be.
Did you leave your phone number with Pastor Tom when you called?
I did.
Good. Then guess what? Mike can give you a call back tomorrow and counsel you a bit and talk to you a little bit more of that off the air if you agree.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We're going to have to hang up because Pastor Tom says I need to hang up.
We have another
question and you're running out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have a question and I have a caller waiting on you.
And the question
a caller called, didn't want to get on the air, said they are wanting to buy a piece of investment property, but the person that's selling it wants to lease it back right away. Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, if you're getting the market rent, if you're buying it for investment purposes, for cash flow, and the seller wants to lease it back, as long as that lease amount is at market rent, which is very high right now. Rents are going for a premium.
You might have a great deal.
That would be a built-in tenant. That would be a great situation.
Now, you got to be concerned about how long they want to lease it and what the terms are. But
that's true. But whether it's a long-term lease or what. But even then, you know.
That's guaranteed money normally, so it's not a bad thing.
They commit to.
Let's take another caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, my name is Cecile. The problem I'm having is I received a notice of deficiency from the IRS. It's a proposed increase in tax and notice of right to challenge. Basically, what they're saying is from 2014 tax year, I haven't paid sufficient taxes. And so I'm in arrears of $3,311. And they do this thing like almost every 2 years. And you know, when I call, they have all these ridiculous and absurd reasons why the record shows that I haven't paid enough and I need to pay it. So I'm asking what recourse, what direction, what do I do?
Well, caller, this is Vince Rosino. I think what you need to do, first of all, I'm a little bit alarmed, but when you said that this happens to you every couple of years, because there's usually reasons for it. Either you've miscalculated, or whoever prepared your taxes miscalculated because they didn't have information, like you didn't get a 1099 included, you had interest on a bank.
I did, and I presented that information to them when I did my taxes.
Well, then the next thing we'd do is to take the notice of deficiency, because usually as part of that, it will tell you what it is that they are adjusting your returns for. So it'll tell you whether you've missed a dividend payment or an interest payment that you received that you didn't declare, or if there was something you weren't eligible for. For example, if you got an earned income credit, or if you take a child credit or something else.
No.
There's got to be a reason.
There's got to be a reason, and it would be contained in that letter. And so in order to help you, we'd have to look at the letter to see what it is they're challenging and then compare it to what you filed. So you should have a copy of your tax return that you were filed handy along with that letter, and then you could do a step-by-step analysis to see what it is they're claiming that you didn't do or you should have done, and then you can take it from there. Other than that, there's no way of knowing, and I can't really help you beyond that without looking at those details.
Right. I haven't got a document in my presence at the moment. Is there a way I could call you back and follow up on this call?
Oh, please? Absolutely.
Here's what we'll do. You left your name and number with Pastor Tom?
I did, yeah.
Let Vince give you a call tomorrow and help counsel you if that's okay with you. And
that's
and,
fine. I do appreciate it very much.
All right. But that's our job
Thank
here
you.
Is to try to help you. So Vince will do that.
Yep. We'll call you back.
Thanks
Thank
for calling.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
1-888-221-8990. We're kind of winding down, but anybody that can't get on the radio now may not have time, but you can call during the week or even after the show. Talk to Pastor Tom, Pastor Dave, Karen, whoever, and they'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you and we'll help you any way we can. But we're down to 3 minutes. Very
yeah,
good.
3 minutes.
See, yeah. Pastor Dave, he waves cards at us, you know. It's an interesting thing when you have these deficiency letters. They go back and they find something they say you didn't do, right? And then normally it's a mistake or you miss something.
Yeah, it's usually what happens. I find that it's a dividend.
Yep, let's take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. This is Millie. I called about a month ago regarding my stepson working at a job where they were giving him a 1099.
Oh, yeah, right.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and yeah, I never got a follow-up phone call, so I just assumed maybe they took my number incorrectly and didn't call me back. But anyway, I'm following up because as of yesterday, they're hiring him on the with the company, so I guess
Excellent.
They said that it was like a 3-month probation, you know.
But now they're going to take taxes and do everything.
They're going to take taxes and everything. But my question is, he has a 1099. Is it important that we file that 1099
for his
taxes this year?
Yes.
If you received a 1099, that means the IRS received it also. So yes,
but
you need to.
He only started working November 30th.
Well, did he earn?
So
did
he
earn
only 4 weeks, right?
Did he earn $600 or more?
He did $400 exactly every week.
Oh, every week.
Yeah.
You have to. Yes, so you definitely have to file a return.
We just had a call from Daniel.
$600.
Yes,
yeah, you have to file. Just file that thing. You can have it.
If you earn $400 or more, technically
you're supposed to file. Right.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I just figured I'd call you.
Okay.
You
good.
Guys
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, caller.
We said you got a call.
Well, Pastor Tom just brought this in. A call from Dania. She said Mike is amazing. you helped her get her first house.
Way to go, Mike.
All right, Mike.
I didn't even pay her to say that.
I was just
going
to say, but she asked me for a check and just to sign it and give it blank.
Well, thank you very much.
Do you know who it is?
Yes.
Yes,
Funny,
he does.
I have a client named Dania.
But she's in Dania, right?
Oh, she's in Dania. Okay,
a bit south of here, Fort Lauderdale area,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know it well.
1-888-221-8990. We're out of time. Write that phone number down. You call at any time. We'll get back to you and help you any way we can. 1-888-221-8990. And I think we should say goodbye.
Yes.
And we say goodbye.
God bless.
Thanks.
God bless, yes.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.